In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Ben-Hur. The novel by Lew Wallace. Dramatized for radio in four parts by Catherine Czerkawska. Music by Wilfredo Acosta. With Jamie Glover as Judah Ben-Hur, Samuel West as Messala, and Phyllis Calvert as Amra. The Bible is read by Michael Gambon. Ben-Hur, Part 1. A Friendship Betrayed.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to
the angel was gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And lo, the star went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
My name is Judah Ben-Hur, and the events I speak of now occurred 21 years after the birth of he that was to be king of the Jews. It was the beginning of the administration of Valerius Gratus, the fourth imperial governor of Judea. Herod the Great was dead. Jerusalem had been reduced to a Roman province. The high priest occupied the palace left by Herod. Gratus himself was an inveterate meddler, and immediately began to dabble in religious politics. Not surprisingly, trouble soon flared in Jerusalem, and although the family of Hur had long cultivated friendship with the Romans, I well understood the resentment, and felt it deeply myself. My father was dead. I was head of the household in spite of my comparative youth, and was fiercely proud of my ancestry. It was in this atmosphere of deep unrest that I renewed acquaintance with my childhood friend Messala. I was a Jew and he a Roman, the son of a great family. But as a boy, I had loved him like a brother. When I heard of his return to Jerusalem, charged with the management of taxes in that region, I hastened to the Roman palace of the high priest to welcome him, and found Messala on a terrace, much changed.
How long has it been, Judah?
5 years.
Must be. You've certainly grown strong and handsome. I hardly recognize you.
Nor are you. But I remember the day you left.
So do I. You cried. And I was sorry for you. But I was glad to go. And excited as well. I couldn't wait to begin my training. I was desperate to see Rome.
Now, I'm not ashamed of my tears. I was saying goodbye to a dear friend.
And now I've come back to you. Ah, but you should see Rome, Judah. She is a wonderful city. Beside her, this place is a rat hole.
Have all your affections so changed, Messala? I seem to remember you were once full of love for Jerusalem.
What's the matter, Judah? Am I not what you expected?
I think I find a Roman prince returning, instead of the boyhood friend I remember.
Nonsense. What's so different about me? I'm the same Messala who went away. I was a Roman then, and I'm a Roman now. And what about you? Your family were always friendly to the Romans. Your father had the patronage of Caesar himself, and grew rich on it.
My father was a great merchant and worked hard for his wealth.
I'm not denying it, but his friendship with Caesar helped. Why are you so prickly, Judah? This is not what I intended for our first meeting. I'd been looking forward to renewing our friendship, and now we cannot seem to speak without quarrelling.
I have no wish to quarrel with you. I am still your friend, Messala. But I think perhaps you have grown too Roman for me, too sophisticated.
Never. I will always be your friend, I swear it. Listen, when I'm a prefect with all Judea to enrich me, I will make you high priest. There now, isn't that a pledge of friendship?
It sounds more like patronage than brotherhood. The patronage of a rich Roman for a poor Jew.
Judah, you are too touchy. Besides, you're hardly poor.
I suppose not.
You live in a palace. You have inherited your father's wealth. What can be so bad about that? My father is in robust good health.
How can you speak like that?
It's the truth. It will be years before I'm lucky enough to inherit anything.
You seem very interested in wealth, Messala.
And why not? Money interests me. My family is wealthy, like yours. But I never seem to have enough for my own requirements. I wonder what you intend to do with your money. It gives you a measure of choice not usual with those of your race. Will you be a merchant like your father? There are so few professions open to you.
Masala!
And what have I said to hurt you now? I cannot make a remark without wounding
you. It is what lies behind your words. When you went away, we understood each other so well.
You thought we did.
Perhaps. Now you are a Roman through and through. You make Roman assumptions about us Jews, and you consider yourself our superior, my superior. I was once your friend. Now you think I am not even your equal.
Judah, you must forgive me if I offend. I can't help myself. I am a simple soldier. But to go back to my question, what are you going to do with all your money? What are you to be, my friend?
I have plans.
What plans? What can you do? You have a life without opportunities before you, comfortable but unfulfilling. I pity you. I can't help it.
I have no need of your pity.
I wasn't joking when I said I will make you high priest if you want. It will be in my power one day. And then you have only to ask.
Oh, I haven't done with this. I have more plans for my life than you know. I want to be a soldier too.
You? A Jew become a soldier?
You see? You only prove my point. You are scornful of everything that I respect.
Judah, don't leave me. You're angry, and I don't want you to leave me in anger. God, how hotly the sun shines. Have some wine. Let's not quarrel anymore.
No. I must go. I wish I had not come. I expected to meet an old friend instead.
You find a Roman. I cannot help what I am, Judah. I'm very glad that you saw fit to welcome me back. But I keep thinking of something my tutor once said. Go and make your lives great. Remember, Mars reigns and Eros has found his eyes. He meant that love is nothing, war everything.
That is an arid belief.
But it is so in Rome. Marriage is the first step to divorce. Virtue is a tradesman's jewel. The world is going the same way. So, to both our fortunes. Down Eros, up Mars. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm proud to be a Roman soldier.
And I am proud to be a Jew. I am proud of my race. I can serve Rome as a Jew.
Never. The claims of your blood will be too strong.
We must agree to differ. I think I should go, Masala.
Well, if you must, you must. I'll walk with you as far as the gate.
They say Gratus is coming tomorrow.
He is. I heard the high priest speak of it last night. There is to be a fine reception for him. But what is it to you, Judah? Why should it interest you?
No particular reason.
How do you plan to become a soldier? Who will help you?
My father was a friend of the emperor. You said it yourself. I might go to Rome.
You certainly have aspirations. But above your station, I think.
How dare you?
You are still a boy, Judah. I am already a man. That is the only problem between us.
No, Masala. That is not the problem. The problem is that I understand you because you are a Roman. But you cannot understand me because I am an Israelite. We can never be the friends that we once were. Let us part here and have done with it.
Then so be it.
The peace of God go with you, Masala.
I cannot wish you the same, I'm afraid. But I wish you joy of your father's fortune. For as long as you may keep it.
I left him there. And afterwards wondered why I had not paid more heed to those last words of his. But I could only think that I had lost a friend, and went home mourning that friendship. I saw a Roman soldier. I did not see the greed, the hatred, the lust for power and fortune in his eyes.
Make one wrong move, my Jewish friend. Just one. Ha! Eros is dead. I say long live Mars.
I left. Full of a sense of foreboding. I felt that I could no longer trust Masala. There was something wary, something cunning and insidious about him, like an animal circling for the kill. I went to our house in the city and rested through the heat of the afternoon. I was woken from a dream of some undefined sorrow by our old family servant Amra. She had tended to me from babyhood, and I think I can say without exaggeration that I was the light of her life.
Judah?
Amra, what hour is it? How long have I slept?
Supper is over. It's growing dark. Aren't you hungry? You've slept for so long.
No, I'm not hungry.
You don't seem very happy. Are you ill?
Why do you always think I'm ill if I'm not hungry? I'm just sleepy. And life doesn't seem as sunny as it did this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I've brought you cakes and milk.
Then I'll eat them to please you, if you'll sit by me.
I will, if you'll tell me what's the matter with you.
You remember Masala, who used to visit us here?
I do. I never liked him much. I never thought him a suitable friend for you.
Perhaps you were right. He's back from Rome. I went to see him today.
And?
He has changed. Nothing's the same between us.
My poor Judah. Well, it does sometimes happen with childhood friendships. You find you've grown out of them. And it's a great disappointment.
It was more than that. He spoke badly of me. And my race. I think I shall have nothing more to do with them. I can't finish this, Amra. I'm not hungry. I'll go up to the roof terrace. Is my mother there?
She is. She was asking for you earlier.
Mother?
Judah, you're awake at last. Come and sit beside me.
I wanted to talk to you.
Something serious?
I've begun to think about my future. I must have some useful occupation. I'm old enough now, and I think I know what I want to do with my life.
Who have you been talking to?
I visited Masala this morning.
So he's back, is he? What has he been saying to you?
He's come back very much a Roman.
He's always been a Roman.
He was a friend. Now he seems an enemy. Or at least that was the way I felt when I left him. I don't want to see him again.
I can't pretend I'm not pleased about that. I never liked him much.
Amra said the same.
I'm sorry for your disappointment, Judah, but what has all this to do with your future?
Masala made me think. Why may a son of Israel not do anything a Roman can do?
Why not, indeed? Your ancestry is as illustrious as his, in fact, more so. The house of Hur was and is a great house. Your father was counted a prince here in Jerusalem. Has Masala been taunting you? He is a soldier now, isn't he?
And full of his own importance.
He was always a headstrong boy. He needed someone to curb his selfish nature, not encourage it.
I need your advice, Mother. I need to know what I can do according to the law. And I don't want to go against your wishes.
You must serve the Lord of Israel, not the gods of Rome. That is all that the law asks of you. As for me, I want whatever will make you contented.
Then, do you think I might be a soldier?
Is that what you really want?
I think it is.
You are not just following Masala?
No. It was in my mind before Masala returned.
Well, didn't Moses call God a man of war? You must serve the Lord, not Caesar. But you may be a soldier all the same. And I think you will make a good one. You have courage, and you also have understanding and intelligence.
I'll do my best.
Oh, Judah, you look so tired still.
You must think me very lazy.
Lie down again and sleep here. It will be cool soon. I'll cover you with my shawl and stay with you until you're asleep. Just as I used to do when you were little.
That would be nice. Rosa?
Good. You're awake. Now you can talk to me.
So that's why you were playing, to wake me up.
Don't you like my play?
It was very pretty. Just like you. But listen, I've got a surprise for you.
Is it something nice?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm going away.
Going away? Oh, that isn't nice at all. When? And where to?
To Rome.
Oh, no. worse and worse. It's a terrible city, full of wicked people. Can't you learn to be a merchant here in Jerusalem?
I'm not going to be a merchant. I'm going to be a soldier.
Oh, but that's terrible. You'll be killed for sure.
Tirza, not all soldiers are killed.
But we're so happy here, the three of us.
Even you will leave home one day, Tirza. You'll marry and have children.
Maybe, but not for a long time. You wouldn't fight for Rome, would you?
I must. For then, Rome will teach me how to fight her one day. Listen, it must be the procession for the new procurator. Let's have a look.
Careful. Don't lean over too far. One day you might be one of those soldiers, Judah.
I might.
You won't be very popular, it seems. Who is the man riding alone in the middle? He looks important, but the crowd doesn't seem to like him.
They don't, despite all his finery.
Who is he?
It must be Gratus. He's procurator of Judea now. Messala said he was arriving today, and there is Messala riding behind him.
But what has this Gratus done that the people should hate him so much?
He's meddled in Jewish affairs, that's why. Serves as... Oh, his tile is loose.
Judah, it's falling. Catch it. Oh!
Thrown from the roof of that palace. The assassin is up there. I know the place. It's a nest of Jewish vipers. Arrest them. Arrest them all.
Tirza, they will think I threw it.
But it wasn't your fault. The tile was loose.
I know, but it struck the new governor.
Is he dead? I can't bear to know.
No, he's getting up. Well, don't be afraid. I'll explain how it happened. Messala is done there. He will know that we intended Gratus no harm.
Yes, they won't hurt us. Surely they won't hurt us.
They're breaking in.
Oh, Judah!
Stay here, Tirza. I'll go down.
No, don't leave me alone up here.
Then we'd better both go down. Come.
Meaning of this, we have done nothing.
Oh, God!
Leave us alone.
Yes.
We are friends of the Emperor himself.
Yes.
Let me go, Yes.
Let my mother go. She is innocent.
There he is. That's the assassin. Seize him.
Messala, it's me, Judah.
Him, an assassin? He's still a boy.
Does a man have to be old before he can hate enough to kill? I know him. I was speaking to him only yesterday, and I know from his questions that he had murder on his mind.
Messala, how often have you been a guest in this house?
That was many years ago.
I meant no harm. You know I meant no harm.
It was an accident. The tile slipped. Oh, sir, as you were my brother's friend, you must believe me.
I have never been your brother's friend. How could a Roman be a friend of a Jew?
It was a turning point in my life. Until that time, I had known only love. I had been happy without knowing that I was happy. Messala was right in a way. I was a boy. Well, in that terrible moment, I put off childish things. They took away my mother and my sister Tirza. They turned out the entire household. Nothing living was to be left within the walls of my old home. None was to be allowed back inside. In that instant, as they dragged me into the street, I became a man.
Good for you, son!
Pity I wasn't straighter!
Pity you didn't kill him and have done with it!
Judah! Oh, Judah, what are we to do?
God help you, Amara, for I cannot. But you must live. Save yourself. Live for Tirza and my mother's sake. Do your best for them.
Get away from him!
No!
Shame! Striking an old woman!
She's run back into the house, sir. Will I go and get her out?
Leave her, leave her. It isn't worth rousing the crowd. They're in an ugly mood. Besides, she's just a servant. We'll seal the house and she'll starve to death in there.
From Messala to Gratus, procurator of Judea. My Midas, I trust that your wound is healing after the recent attempt upon your life. The disposal of the family of Judah Ben-Hur and the confiscation of their property will, I trust, go some way to relieving your pains.
They are, or perhaps I should say were, vastly rich. I must thank you from the bottom of my heart for the consideration which you have promised me in this matter. The sum you name will afford me many years of enjoyment. I know that the young malefactor is to be sent to the galleys for life, and although he was the friend of my youth, I cannot permit myself to mourn his fate. His crime is too heinous for that. I do not know the fate you propose for the mother and sister, and would rather remain in ignorance of it. So that all is secure between us, I counsel you to burn this letter. I remain your most loving friend, Messala.
I had had no opportunity to plead my innocence. I saw no more of my sister or my mother, but after a night spent in prison, was marched overland accompanied by a party of soldiers. They told me nothing, but I knew in which direction lay the sea. I knew that I was bound for the galleys.
Section! Halt!
In the searing heat of midday, we arrived at the town of Nazareth. The soldiers refreshed themselves at the well, but none thought to bring water for me. The villagers gathered round us in a curious crowd. One or two women looked sympathetic enough, but no one made a move to help me. Until one young man, near my own age, came forward. He was slight and sunburnt, but wiry. His arms well muscled and his hands calloused, as though he worked hard at some physical occupation. There was a carpenter or woodcarver in the village, and this was his son. He brought water from the well and offered it to me. As I drank, he slipped an arm around my shoulders. And when I looked into his eyes... No, I can't say that I gave up all desire for revenge. That would be to go too far. All I can say is that a little of the ice in my heart melted. I drank from the pitcher he offered me, and it seemed the water refreshed me more than I would have thought possible. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to. I took what he offered and was grateful. It was our first meeting.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Prisoners seldom survive the galleys for long. We knew no other world, save the great cabin which was the heart of the ship. At the after end of the cabin was a platform where the chief of the rowers sat and beat time for the oarsmen. And above him, the tribune had his quarters overlooking everything. We rowed, we ate, we slept. That was the sum total of our wretched lives. But I was young, and the desire for revenge burned in my heart. My hatred of Rome alone would, I think, have been enough to keep me alive. I had been aboard the galley some 3 years when Quintus Arius, the tribune, was sent by Caesar to do battle with pirates who had been causing havoc in the Aegean. I had grown stronger, my shoulders more powerful, my hatred more bitter. Our ship was to be Arius's own. We had heard little of him, except that he was reputed to be a fair man. It would make small difference to us.
Chief!
Tribune,
what force are you using?
250 rowers, sir.
I'll make reliefs of...
84. We change every 2 hours.
That division must be very hard on them. How do they bear up? It's the customary one, sir, and there's no shortage of replacements. Nevertheless, I shall want to change it.
Sir.
But not just now. For now, the oars should not rest day or night. We must be quick. The wind is fair, so let the sail help them. I don't want to anchor till we reach the Bay of Antemena.
As you wish, sir.
I must make offerings to Jove and Neptune. And then I'll go down to the great cabin. I'd like to study the men who'll be under my command.
Sir.
Chief.
Sir. Keep the rhythm there.
Yes, sir.
Number 60.
Sir.
He's very young.
Sir.
His features are finer than one would have supposed in a galley slave.
He's a Jew. That's all I know, sir.
But a Jew is not a barbarian. And he has spirit. He rows like a man possessed.
The ship itself is only a month old, sir, and the men are as new to me as the ship. He is certainly our best rower.
What of his character?
He's obedient. He did once make a special request.
And what was that?
He asked if I would alternate him from right to left sides of the ship.
What was his reason?
Well, he said he'd noticed that those men who were confined to only one side of the ship became misshapen.
Ah.
He also said that during a storm or battle, there might be a need to change him over. Then he would be unused to the change and therefore unserviceable.
Yeah, certainly a new idea. And it's a good one. Might be applied with benefit to the whole crew.
I thought so too, sir.
He's intelligent, then. Anything else?
Only that he is certainly a cut above his companions, as you have said.
Yeah. You know nothing of his history?
No, sir.
I'm curious to know more about him. We're almost into the Straits of Messina. When his 2 hours are up, send him to me on deck.
The chief said you wish to see me, sir.
I do. He tells me you're his best rower.
He is kind to say so.
Have you seen much service?
3 years, sir.
3 years? Well, he must have been a mere boy. You spent 3 years at the oars?
I have not had one day of rest from them, sir.
Well, hard labour. Few men can stand more than a year without breaking.
My spirit has helped me to endure it. I made up my mind from the start that I would not be beaten.
Mm-hmm. You look more like a young nobleman than a slave.
I come from a noble family of Jerusalem.
And I see that you're proud of it. What cause has a galley slave for such pride?
Only that I am a Jew, sir.
And I've not been to Jerusalem, but I have heard of its princes. I knew one of them once. He was a merchant.
My father was a prince of Jerusalem. He was known and honored by the great Augustus himself.
Well, what was his name?
Ithanar, the house of Her.
Ithanar! You are Ithanar's son?
I am, sir.
But what brought you to this?
I was accused of trying to assassinate Valerius Gratus, the procurator.
You? Why, all Rome was alive with that story. But I thought the family of Her were blotted from the earth.
Blotted from the earth? Oh, sir, if you can tell me anything, anything at all of what became of my mother and Terza, my sister, please, please help me. I would give anything to know if they are still alive.
No, I know nothing of them. It was only rumor.
I would be happy even to know that they were dead. To know nothing. The oars were welcome for unbending my mind and body to them. I could forget for a small space. But at night. And it was all my fault.
You admit your guilt, then?
No. I did not mean... Sir, you must have heard of the God of my fathers.
Of course.
Then you will understand what it means when I say that by the great Jehovah, I swear to you that I am innocent.
What happened?
It was of all foolish things a loose roof tile.
A roof tile?
I dislodged it, and it fell on Gratus's head as he passed by. There was no intention to harm him.
Yeah, but didn't you have a trial? You should have, according to our laws, and all this would have come out.
There was no trial, sir. There were no witnesses save my terrified little sister.
Then who passed judgment on you?
I don't know. Gratus himself, perhaps.
Hmm. If you had been allowed a trial, what would you have said in your defense?
That Gratus was a stranger to me. If I'd meant to kill him, it was neither the time nor the place. He was riding in the middle of a legion in broad daylight. It would have been complete folly to attempt assassination at such a time. I could not have escaped.
All of which is true, and reasonable.
And besides, I was friendly to Rome. Why, sir, that very day I had decided to go to Rome and embark upon a military training.
I see.
Sir, you must believe me. We were all innocent. A great wrong was done that day.
Well, I know something of Gratus, none of it to his credit. And I knew your father. He was an honourable man. But you are still my best rower, and we must make haste to Cythera. It is enough. Go back to your place.
Sir. But if you think of me again, remember that I did not ask for freedom. All I asked for was news of my mother and my sister.
No, wait.
Sir?
If you were free, what would you do?
I would know no rest until my mother and Terza were restored to their home.
But what of your own ambitions? If your mother and sister were dead, what would you do then?
My ambitions are the same as they always were. I would learn to be a soldier, and I would be a good one.
Very well. Go now.
Sir.
You were a long time. What are you wanted for?
The Tribune was curious to know my history.
So we all. But you don't give much away, do you? Do you smell incense?
The Tribune was making sacrifice to his gods. Battle must be near.
Let's hope the enemy's victorious. The pirates might free us.
It'll do us little good. We shall be chained before the battle. If the ship sinks, we'll go down with it. Better to pray for a Roman victory, my friend.
No talking there! I'd sooner take my chance with the enemy. We will be going into battle soon.
What did I tell you?
You're all to be trained. Keep the rhythm now. Please, don't chain that one. Sir, he's our best ruler. I think that he'll row more strongly if he's free. But, sir! Leave him. He's better without the iron. You must have made an impression on him. You won't go down with the ship at any rate.
I won't abandon you.
Then you're more of a fool than I take you for. You take your chance while you can. They don't come often in this life. Believe me, I've had my time. And I'm weary to escape. Death would be welcome. But you are young and strong. And have many years ahead of you.
The pirates are close by! Up and ready!
Overhead, we heard the muffled noise of the final preparations for battle. Sheaves of arrows and armfuls of javelins were carried on deck. Oil tanks and fireballs were set ready for use as we increased our rate of strike. Then...
What's happening? We're hit! We've been hit! Jude, we're sinking.
No, the ship is only heeling over.
They've caught another vessel.
An opposing ship had been caught by the grappling hooks of our great crane and was being lifted into the air so that it might be dropped and sunk. The battle raged, and we rowed. Terror lent us strength. Sometimes we passed by a ship on fire and inhaled the dreadful stench of burning rowers still chained to their benches.
They're aflame. Listen to them.
God help them, the poor souls.
Now what's happening?
I think we've been boarded. They're fighting the barbarians on deck.
But why don't you save yourself? Why don't you go and fight on one side or another? You may escape.
How can I ever escape from the judgment of Rome?
Better to die fighting than at the oars. You can't help us now. Go and save yourself.
You're right. God go with you.
No one save those nearest to me saw me go. I leapt up the stairs to find the tribune, meaning to fight and die at his side if need be. It would at least be an honorable death for one who had wanted to be a soldier. On deck, I could see that the sky was blood red with fire, and the sea covered with wrecked ships and bodies. And then, suddenly, the whole after part of our hull broke asunder. The sea leapt in and all became surging water. Within arm's reach, a man shot up from the maw of the ocean as I myself had emerged minutes before. The arms beat the water wildly. The mouth was gaping wide for air. I knew him at once.
Arius! Tribune Arius!
I used all my strength to keep the Roman's head above the surface. I pushed the plank down and under until it floated him. And then I clambered aboard with my unconscious companion. He was no longer a young man, and the cold might yet kill him. We waited for the dawn.
Lie still, sir. If you move too much, we'll capsize.
Where am I? What happened?
You were half drowned until I dragged you from the sea. There was a great battle with the pirates and our ship was sunk. Don't you remember?
Judah! Ben-Hur! I remember you. You saved my life, it seems.
For the present. Depends which side was victorious. If it was the pirates, then we are lost. All we can do is wait and see who, if anyone, comes to our rescue.
Whatever way it goes, hope the sun rises soon. Or I freeze to death. Judah, promise me something.
If it is not forbidden.
Tell me the truth. Are you really a son of Hur the Jew?
I am. I spoke only the truth to you.
He was my friend when we were both in Rome. It is the custom of gentlemen in Rome to wear a ring. I have one. I want you to take it.
But why?
It has its uses. I have property and money, but I have no family of my own, no heirs. Show the ring to my freedman. You'll find him in a villa near Misenum. Tell him how it came to you and ask anything of him. If I live, I'll do better for you. I'll free you and restore you to your home and people. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Then promise me, by the gods.
But I am a Jew, sir, and cannot promise by your god.
By your god, then. Swear you will do as I ask.
I see a ship coming in this direction.
Where from?
The north.
Can you tell her nationality? Does she have a flag?
No, nothing.
Yeah. A Roman in triumph would have many flags set out. She must be an enemy. Listen, if it is a pirate galley, your life at least will be safe.
They may put me to the oar again.
But they won't kill you. As for me, I'm too old to submit to dishonor. If this is a pirate ship, promise me that you will push me from the plank and drown me. Do you hear? Will you swear that you will do it?
I will not swear. Nor will I do the deed. Take back the ring, tribune, and all your promises of favor. I am a son of Israel and my own master. Take back your ring.
No.
Sir, I cannot promise to kill you. So the sea must take the ring?
That was foolish, Tudor. Stupid display of pride and stubbornness. But I'm not dependent on you for death. I can break the thread of my own life with no help from you. The ring was the only witness of my will. I've nothing else to give you.
3 years of slavery. You were the first to look upon me with any kindliness. Well, there was one other, but you were the first to speak to me. If you were to offer me all Rome, I could not kill you, and I care not for what I might gain or lose.
It is as I suspected. You're a man of great principle. I admire you. Well, we can do nothing else. The ship comes on quickly. We must wait and see.
Sir, are you sure the ship is an enemy?
I think so. I cannot be sure. What's happening now?
She's stopped and put a boat over the side. Is there no other sign by which you might tell if she's a Roman or not?
There are no flags?
None.
Wait, is there a helmet over the top of the mast?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Ah.
And the men in the small boat are picking up survivors. Pirates would not be so humane.
Then give thanks to your God, Judah. Call to the men in the small boat. Call to them quickly.
Here. Over here.
There. What survivors?
The victory is mine. I shall be doomed there. Judah Ben-Hur, I knew your father well and I loved him. He was a prince indeed. He taught me that a Jew was not a barbarian.
It is good to hear a Roman say so.
Judah, your father is dead, and you have suffered greatly at the hands of Rome. But if you will allow me, I will make you my own son.
Sir, wait until you have recovered. You may change your mind when you are safely back in Rome.
I won't change my mind.
It is the tribune himself! Praise be to the
gods! Were we victorious?
We were, sir! We thought you were dead,
Prisonarius. No. All thanks to this young man who robbed the sea of her prey. Now take good care of him and treat him with all courtesy. When we return to Misenum, I shall have an announcement of some importance to make.
Sir, are you sure you want to do this?
More than sure, Judah. I'd pledge my life on it.
Is there no one else with a better claim?
No. As I've grown older and seen the friends of my youth marry and have children, I've come to regret more and more that I have no heir, no one to leave my property to, no one worthy to take my name. I've been a military man all my life. No one to love and take pride in. As I see my companions taking pride in their children. You've been sent to me, Judah. There's no doubt about it.
Then so be it.
Good friends, I have an announcement to make to which I wish you to bear witness. I want to present to you this young man who is now my son and heir. If it be the will of the gods that I leave any property, he is to take it all. In future, he shall be known to you by my name. I beg you, all of you, to love him as you love me. To love him as my son.
And so I was saved from the galleys and lived with my foster father in Rome, so that Rome herself might teach me how to become a soldier. And for a while, I believed with all my heart in Messala's terrible dictum. Down Eros, up Mars, he had said, with treachery in his heart. And I echoed him every day as I learned the arts of war. Down Eros, up Mars.